All right, that better? All right, praise God. It is a blessing to be here in the middle of the week. I can't do that with the same enthusiasm twice. But in the middle of the week, here it is, it's 90 plus degrees and mid-upper western New York. Woohoo! Boy, it don't happen like that. But I heard it's been since 1950-something. 1952, since we've had a run of warm weather like this, and so praise God for it. We'll be picking up in 1 John again. We're in chapter 2. We'll be starting around verse 18. Of course, I'm going to back up a little bit before we move forward. And so if you were to title this, I would put a title on it like this: Things Are Not as They Seem. Things are not as they seem. And so I like that about the Lord, that you know, when we think we got it all figured out, we probably don't, you know. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. Lord, I thank you for this epistle of John that was written to the church, to the body, to those who would believe in you and follow you with the fullness of their heart. Father, I pray that even now, that as we go through these next few verses, Lord Jesus, that you would touch us with the truth, Lord Father, and you would give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness. Lord, that you would plant a desire, a deep desire in us to be truly, fully, completely converted to the things that you would have us to do and not to the things that we might want to do. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so last week, as we were getting into the Word, or coming to the end of last week's study, starting back in verse 15, John is telling us, giving us some warnings. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And this world is passing away." The world passes away, and the lust thereof. "But he that doeth the will of the Father will abide forever." Amen. That's some great news. I am so happy that the things that are going on in the world right now are not permanent. This craziness that's happening is not the end of the chapter. It's not the end of the book. These things that are going on, the craziness that we see that's happening from coast to coast, from one land to another, it is expected. And John saw it. In fact, he wrote the revelation. He spoke it as the Holy Spirit gave it to him when he saw the visions. He wrote these things, that things are going to get crazy. And he knew that the world was going to pass away. In fact, it tells us in Peter that the world will burn with a fervent heat. All the things of this world are going to be gone. Isn't that good news? No more sin. Pray. That's the greatest part. No more sin. No more disease. No more weeping. No more crying. No more cancer. Amen. No more cancer. No more need for heart murmurs. No more need, because God will be ruling with righteousness. Oh, when the kingdom of God comes, and it is coming, and I'm so happy that the kingdom's coming, that this world will pass away. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait until those days happen. But until that day, where we are now, until that day, we need to press on. Amen? We need to keep in the Word of God and holding on to His righteousness and not in our own understanding. John, as he's writing this letter, he comes back to little children. He says, "Little children, this is the last time. And as you have heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time." Praise God. Did you notice he didn't say that this is the last day? He said that this is a time period that we're coming into. It was right after the birth of the church, and in God's way of seeing things, a time started. God works like fingers, cogs in a wheel. You know, and anybody remember the old watches that you had to wind up? And have you ever opened one of those up on the backside, and there's all those little cogs and stuff? And so there's the second-hand cog that goes around, or actually it rocks back and forth real fast. And when 60 of those ticks happen, then one tooth hits in another cog, which makes 1 minute hand go, click. And after 60 minutes go, then another cog and another wheel goes click, and an hour goes by, and so on and so forth. And if you had one that had the day and the month and the year, all of those things would happen as those cogs in a wheel come around. Well, John here is saying that we have some sure, fine evidences that the end time had begun. All right, Jesus came, amen. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, that was starting a new time period. He rode into Jerusalem on exactly the right day, a bunch of days after Daniel had prophesied, but it was exactly the day, exactly the time, exactly the hour that Jesus was supposed to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, just like the scripture said. So click, one of the cogs fell into place. And then Jesus had to die on a cross, he had to be buried in a tomb, and he had to raise again from the grave. Click, another thing came into play. And so here John is saying, now we see that there are many antichrists that are leaving the body of Christ. There are many false doctrines that should be, and even in the beginning of the church, these things should have been concrete, that Jesus was indeed God manifested in the flesh, that he was born, he came, and he lived a perfect life, and he died for our sin, and he rose on the third day, just like the scriptures, and it should have been that way. But there were folks who were believing things like the Gnostics were saying, that he really wasn't a human. You know, that when he walked, there was really no footsteps under his feet, that he was a spirit man, that he wasn't real flesh and blood. Well, we know that Jesus Christ was absolutely human, amen? He was born of a woman. He had to learn like every other body, every other human being had to learn. But he was God manifested in the flesh. Well, there was a lot of false doctrine and stuff that were coming out from the church in the very beginning. And John is saying here in verses 18 through 19 that the last time. We know John, he was not mistaken in his comment. Amen? He was an apostle. He knew exactly what he was saying. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And indeed, we are still living in that last time period. You know, while we're alive right now, we're still in the last time. All right? But we're coming to the end of the last time. See, he was in the beginning of the last time. We're towards the end of the last time. And we can tell that we're towards the end of the last time because way back in John's day, a lot of antichrists were hearing the gospel and then going out and perverting the gospel. Just beginning, the seeds of unrighteousness were being planted. Deception was being brought into the church way back then. And now, 2,000 plus years, we have all of that stuff that started then fully growing into its fullness today. Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares, that the farmer went out, he sowed good seed in his field, he planted wheat, well, tares came up at the same time. What did he tell us in Matthew chapter 13? Let the tares and the wheat grow together until the time of the harvest. So Jesus planted the good seed, John and the apostles, they ministered to that good seed, they made sure it, but the devil came in, the evil people came in, and they started perverting that. Tares started growing up in the very beginning of the church. And so they were called the Antichrist, not the son of perdition, but people who were not with Christ. Amen? They were Antichrist. So anything that Jesus said, they were against that. You know, everything that Jesus did, they threw doubt, they threw deception in amongst the wheat to cause a stumbling to occur. And so we know that it says in John that that many Antichrists had gone out. This is the last time, as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. Did you see what he said right there? The hour that is coming, that the end of the 69th week of Daniel is happening. Okay, the end of that time is happening, coming up into the 70th week, the time of the revelation, the exposing of all that stuff. We're seeing that happen. John the Apostle saw it beginning. We're seeing the inside of that. Okay, that's understandable. Okay, and in that we know that many things are going to be happening, and they're going to be happening faster and faster as the end of the age approaches all the closer. But Jesus told us in Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, but of that time, of that day, of that time and of that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but only the Father. Now we can see, plain and simple, that the time that we stand in that we know that the time that had started because of the things that were happening then. But now we're in 2016, and we can plainly see that we are close to the end of that time period. John said many antichrists had already come out from the church, preaching another gospel, which is not another gospel, right? There's only one gospel. In fact, we're told in the Bible that if anybody comes to you preaching another gospel, even if it's an angel, if it's an angel from heaven comes to preach, or an angel of light comes to preach to you another gospel than what you have heard, let him be accursed. In other words, John Smith, when he saw that angel of light come to him in a cave all by himself and gave him another gospel, that if John Smith would have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, knew his scripture, he would have said, "I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ, leave me alone." Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. There is no other gospel, there is no other good news than that outside of Christ. You know what I'm saying? There is only one good news, and that is Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, loved you so much that he died for your sin, rose on the third day to fulfill the scriptures, ascended into the heavens, and seated on the right hand of the Father. Good news! Good news. And if he went to go and prepare us a place, that there is coming a time that he's going to come back. And those who belong to him, he's going to call them that they can be with him forever. Amen. Now we need to be sure that we are those people. All right. That we know that whether we meet him in the air or whether we die on this earth, whatever happens, that we need to know for sure that we are of that group of people that will know Jesus Christ and be known of Jesus Christ, that he has prepared a place for me and for you. Now, we need to make sure that we are those folks. Okay, not that you're the only ones or we're the only ones, but anybody washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, holding on to the hem of his garment, trusting in him and not trusting in yourself, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are his. Amen. If you believe it, you confess it with your mouth. God has saved you. Jesus even said in Matthew 24, verse 24, "For there shall rise up false Christ and false prophets and show signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible that they should deceive even the very elect." Jesus said that there's coming a time that false Christ, false messiahs would be showing up on the earth. People would be saying, "Wow, geez." Well, I heard it just a couple years ago that there's somebody in Florida called himself Jesus Christ and has a huge following. Okay, anyhow, there's a lot of people right now in this day and time that doing signs and wonders, calling themselves apostles, all right, calling themselves people who have actually seen Jesus Christ. False prophets are rising up on every side right now. And this isn't a new thing, I guess is where I'm coming to. Because even John said in his day, all right, in his day, that false antichrists, false believers were leaving the church and starting other beliefs or perverting the true gospel of Jesus Christ, even back in those days. Personally, that deception is what is with in the Christian church in America, that very deception, that believing that we can have a Savior outside of Jesus Christ. Amen? That you heard it in the both conventions just last month, whenever they had them. Both conventions, they were, one folks was looking at Hillary and thinking that she is Mrs. Messiah. Some folks were looking at Trump and thinking that he's the Savior of America. Wrong. All right, wrong. They are not the saviors of America. They are not the people that we need to be worshiping or looking to. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, amen? And if the church will do what it's supposed to do, God the Father says that he would come and heal the land. If the church would get right, if we would start coming together, gelling, and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the only thing that's going to help us. That's the only thing that's going to change this nation, is us coming to him. We know that in these last times, or in these times that that time period that John was talking about, that there would be a lot of things that were happening around us. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, it reads like this. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by the letter, as from us, that the day of the Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now listen to those words real careful again in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, all right, that's the day he's talking about, it shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know that I got to do verse 6 again because I'm reading it backwards. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who knoweth now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is coming after the working of Satan. All right. So in this warning from Paul to the church of Thessalonica, he's saying that there's coming a time that don't let no man deceive you that the day of the Lord is already at hand. That's one of those false things that were being taught back in Paul's day, that Christ had already come. Well, Paul's saying, take calm. Don't worry about that right now. Some things got to happen first. First, there has got to come a great falling away. And I believe, really, in America, what we're seeing, the reason that this church is empty on midweek and is empty on Sunday night, we're seeing a falling away. We are watching, and it's not in this church. It's in many churches across America. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of churches that quit having midweek service because nobody showed up. They quit having Sunday night service because nobody showed up. And they started having Sunday service instead of preaching the Word of God. They have rock and roll bands, right? They'll get comedians to come in and tell jokes. They'll do juggling, firing cannonballs or whatever. They'll do whatever except for preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we know that we're in that time of the falling away because people are not desiring the Word of God. That falling away must come first. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Now check this out. The church, after its own lust, will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. All right? The church, the people who should know better, all right, the people who ought to be hungering and thirsting for the Word of God are heaping to themselves teachers that just want to be praised by other men. They're teaching, they're heaping to themselves folks who won't teach you the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, but they'll teach you another gospel. They'll do what the Antichrist back in John's day was doing. They'll come and they'll pervert the Word of God. They'll say peace and safety when there is no peace and safety. They'll say prosperity when there is no real prosperous folks here in America at all. Do we have a lot of money? Amen. This is the richest nation that has been on the face of the earth, right? We have been blessed immensely by God. But because of our great wealth, we have grown cold and stale and not really desiring the Word of God. That's why so many churches are closing their doors. Because the people really don't want it. And if they can't find a preacher that'll give them the itching ear, you know, that'll just puff them up. You know, if he comes and says, thus says the Lord, marriage is between one man and one woman, poof, he's out of the pulpit. If he says that a baby is at the point of conception and that's a real life, poof, he's kicked out of the pulpit. If he says that if you're born a man, you'll die a man no matter what the surgeons do to you, poof, they'll kick you out of the pulpit. Right? If they come and just preach to you the love of Jesus Christ, poof, you're out of the pulpit. Right? And that's the times that we're living in right now. That's what Paul was talking in 2 Thessalonians. He said that there is coming a time, and this person who is going to be coming after the falling away starts, this man of sin, he's going to be revealed as the son of perdition. Who he will oppose himself or show himself and exalt himself above everything that is called God. Right now, the world is looking for a Savior. Okay, but they don't want Jesus Christ. The world, the whole world right now is looking for somebody who will just show up on the scene and glass everything over. And oh, I tell you, when this guy comes, he is going to have the silver tongue. He's going to be able to smooth it all out. Hope and change won't hold nothing to the guy who's coming. You want to talk about somebody who will be able to deceive worlds, whole worlds, he'll deceive them by the sweetness of his mouth. But in that sweetness is poison. He's going to exalt himself above everything that is called God. And we are poised in this nation and the nations around the world. We're poised for that man right now. We've already stopped teaching our children to fear the Lord. In fact, we don't even let the Bibles be brought into the classrooms anymore. We don't teach them the righteousness and the love and the compassion of God. What we do teach them is that they come from animals, right? We teach them that you're a monkey's uncle. That a million, billion, gazillion years ago, some comet struck across the universe and you came out of the mud from that. Yeah, that is a lie sent straight out of the pits of hell. But we teach our kids that, and now our kids don't know God. They don't fear God. They have no reverence for authority in the classroom, in the home, or in the street. And why is that? Because we've been heaping to ourselves teachers with itching ears. Amen. The last time, the time of last times is upon us. We're seeing this. Well, the world is poised and ready for this super ungodly man, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, to arise. And it talks about that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And John seeing this, and he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. He had seven heads and horns. 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his head was the name, or his heads, was the name of blasphemy. So John the Apostle saw this beast rising up out of the sea of humanity, saw him rise up, and he saw him as he stood upon the sands of the sea, and this beast, he rose up out of the sea, and he had 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns on the head. We could talk about all that kind of stuff, but it'd take us all night. This here is indeed the son of perdition, coming into his power, having an authority. He's bringing these 10 crowns, these 10 nations together, and he has seven heads and 10 crowns, 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 horns. I stood by the sea, and it raised up, and he had 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns were crowns. So he has horns, which are a sign of authority, crowns, which are signs of kingships, and heads, which again is the head of things. Okay, the chief of things. And he has all this stuff in power. So John is telling us here, and Paul and John the Apostle, John and 1 John, and John and the Apostle Paul is telling us all these things are coming together at this last time, which John the Apostle saw the beginning of the time, and we're seeing the end of the time. Okay, many antichrists were started out when John was writing this epistle to the early church, and now we're seeing the fulfillment of that in our day and time. Church, you're alive in a very exciting time. You really are. This is super duper exciting. Before you know it, they're going to try to stop us from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's exciting. You might think, oh no, that's horrible. Well, yeah, it's horrible, but it's what the Bible says is going to happen. That there's coming a man that's going to come up out of humanity. He's going to come up out of the UN or the, whatever nation group that it is. And he's going to show himself most popular, most likely to succeed in the yearbook. Amen? And so he probably is going to have more PhDs and doctorates. And he's going to be so stinking smart. And he's going to know all the big words and what they mean. Right? He's going to have it all in control. It looks like. And he's going to exalt himself above everything that is called God. And the world is going to stumble and fall for it. So John the Apostle is seeing this, and Paul was seeing this. It says in verse 19 of 1 John chapter 2, coming back to that. For they went out of us. John is talking about those folks who were the spirit of the Antichrist in those people. They went out from us, but they were not part of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt had continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us. See, that brings you back to the wheat and tares, right? The farmer went out and he sowed good wheat in a field. An enemy came in and he sowed tares. They were all part of the same field. They were all in the same body. They were all there together. And when the workers saw the tares and the wheat growing together, they said, Master, shouldn't we go pull up the wheat? What we ought to do? What we ought to do about it? My English is good. I'm going back to my southern roots. What should we do about it? Should we pull up the tares? And he says, no, let them grow. Let them stay. Let them stay. Let them grow with the wheat. Because if you pull the tares out too prematurely, you're going to mess the roots up of the wheat and they're both going to die. So let them grow until the end. Let them grow until the end of this time, until the end of the dispensation of the church. Let those two, the wicked and the righteous, grow together in the same body. Don't try to kick them out. Try to love them. See, the beautiful thing about it is I can't change a tare, but God can. I can't change a tare on my head. But Jesus knows all the tares on your head. No, sorry, those are playing with words. I shouldn't be doing that. He knows all the hair on your head. He knows everything that's happening. Jesus knew that this time was going to be coming up. He knew that the harvest was going to come. He knew, and it tells us again in, I believe it's in 14 or 15 of the Revelation, where God sends the angels to go and reap the earth. He sends two. He sends the first one, go and thrust in your sickle and reap that one to be destroyed. And he goes and send the next one to reap the earth and bring that into my barn, which is the very same thing that he said in Matthew chapter 13. Go and reap, bring some into my barn, bring the born-agains into the barn, bring the tares out to be burned. Okay, so there's coming a time that the church, those who are born again in Christ Jesus, they're going to be gathered together to be at one spot. Okay, that is not the rapture, so get that out of your head. That is the gathering. That's the pulling us out. Remember what it said in Thessalonians that we just read? That the one who is restraining will be brought out of the way. Those who are born again, washed in the Holy Spirit, those who stand up for righteousness, you're going to be gathered up and brought out of the way. And then unrighteousness is going to come up. You'll first see a falling away, which we're seeing a falling away in the church today. Okay, right after that falling away starts happening and people are starting to call evil good and good evil. Have you saw that on 60 Minutes lately? Amen? You're seeing that everywhere. Well, pretty soon the church is going to be called a hate monger. You're going to be hated for the gospel. If you're not already, then you ain't standing upright. But if you start standing upright, they are going to hate you because you believe in the one true Savior. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. But if you look like the world, that's why John said, don't love the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Amen. So he's saying, be prepared to be gathered up in the last time, pulled out away from the rest of society. And those who are washed in the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to be brought someplace, concentration camps probably. We're going to be brought someplace and we're going to be held there. And we're going to be silenced. All right? Because we'll just be in our little concentration camp, Stalag 13. All right, you'll be wherever you are, Stalag 777s. Woohoo! That's us, and we'll be there in that spot. It will not be comfortable in that spot. Okay, it is going to be hard. We're going to lose a lot of the anemones of life, a lot of the pleasures of life. But I tell you what, the church is going to prosper. There, it's going to grow. Wow! Thank you, Lord, for this. When Israel became slaves in Egypt, did they not grow? Was it uncomfortable? Absolutely. It was nothing good about that in their flesh. Oh, but it was an incubator. They grew right there, right? They grew. They became a mighty nation, and then Moses came and brought them out. We, the church, will be gathered together in a spot, and the tares will be gathered together in another spot. And the tares are going to be more numerous than those who are the lambs of God. There are more of them than there are of us. That's okay. I'd rather have a Gideon's army anyhow. I would rather us to be solid in the gospel of Jesus Christ and prepared for this. You know, Jesus said it was going to happen. John said it was going to happen. Paul said it was going to happen. It's going to happen. All right? It is going to happen. And in verse 20 he says, but you have an unction. I like it. Unction. Sounds southern. I think he's a southern man. I got me an unction. You know what unction means? It's anointing. You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, but you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Amen? If you'll study the scripture of Jesus Christ, if you'll study the Bible, you're going to know all things. You'll know what's coming. You may not know the day or the hour, but you know the season, right? I don't know when this stuff is going to happen, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen pretty quick. And I don't like to talk about things personally, but personally, I believe that the Son of Perdition is alive and well on the planet Earth, and that these things are already in play. They're already starting. It's already, you see it budding, little pops of flowers. The tares are already starting to bloom. Okay, you're starting to see it. No longer is it just the shoot. No longer is it just the leaf. No longer is it just the starting of the seed, starting of the tares. You're starting to see it flowering. You're starting to see it come to its fullest. Well, praise God, you're also seeing what it said, that there will be a great falling away from the body of Christ. We're watching those things unfold before our very eyes. Be excited, for your day of redemption is at hand. Amen? Oh, I sound like a fatalist, don't I? No, I'm a finalist, okay? I'm not a fatalist, I'm a finalist. Because I believe that this is the last time. Amen? There's coming the last day. At the end of the last time, there'll be the last day. But before the last day comes, the church has got to be taken out of here. And I'm not talking about rapture, I'm talking about death. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who are asleep in Christ, will arise first. And then them that remain will be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? So you'll be walking along in your little concentration camp because you've been caught out and brought to your side. And all of a sudden, poof, you're gone. Your body's going to fall over. Amen? You know why I know that your body's not going to heaven? Because you're a sinner. And no sin can enter into the gates of God. No sin can come before the presence of God. So this skin, this death clothes that we wear every day, it's got to stay here on the earth. Where the buzzards are, where the eagles are flying, that's where the bodies will be found. All right? And so there'll be a great feast for those birds someday. But that's okay. I don't want to bring this carcass to heaven anyhow. Right? I will have a celestial body when that day comes. So I'm not worried about this physical form. I'm not worried about this frame. I don't know what I'll look like when I get there, but I know when I get there, I'll look like him. Amen? And I know when he's there, he looks like light. Amen? He looks sinless. And praise God, there's coming a day that this sinner, this corruption, will put on incorruption. So if these are good things, I mean, they sound uncomfortable, it's not going to be easy. But folks, it'll be short. It'll be short because when these things start to happen, we only got 3.5 years. 3.5 years of living in the horseman time and all that. 3.5 years of living in that. And then you're out of here. You'll go to sleep. Don't worry about it. You'll wake up in the presence of God. I can't wait. Sweet dreams, baby. You know, sweet dreams. Those days are coming. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us, Now he which establishes this, who brings us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. That unctioning, that anointing has come from God, who hath also sealed us in giving us the earnest, which means down payment, of the Spirit of God in our heart. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I come not lest you worry in Corinth. But anyhow, what he is saying right here in this little portion of Scripture, the way this ties in together, is that he is calling us. He has sealed us. We have an unction from the God. We're anointed through the Holy Spirit, that he has us sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that good news? That you are sealed. If you walk with Christ, if you stay hooked up to Jesus, you are sealed. Amen? Sealed. You can't get away. You are sealed until the day of resurrection, until the day of awakening, until you're there. You're caught. But you got to walk with him. You got to. There's a lot. Well, see, even in John's day, those folks who left they thought that they were part of the church, but they were the Antichrist or Antichrist people in the church. They thought that they were Christian. If you would have asked them, the Gnostics, they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe that. Kick the can down the road. I'm a Christian, but I really don't believe that Jesus was God manifested in flesh, you know. I'm a Christian, but I believe that you got to be baptized to be saved. I'm a Christian, but I don't think I really got to follow what Jesus said. I'm a Christian, but I really ain't got to love that person because they're different than me. That's what we're saying in the church today. I'm a Christian, but I really don't got to listen to that stuff. You're a crazy pastor. You ain't got to listen to you. God has called us. We know what truth is all about. Amen. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you of things to come. How do I know that these things are true? One thing is they're in the Word of God. Amen. That's why I know they're true. The other thing is I have a sureness in my words, the way I talk, even though I don't pronounce things right. I have a sureness in that because I have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had me write all this stuff down, tie all these things together throughout the Scripture, here a little, there a little, every jot and tittle, you know, we got to bring it all together, that these are the times that John the Apostle was talking about. That he saw the beginning of the time of the apostate. Now we're seeing the end of the time of the apostate. All of that has happened, conspired over the last 2,000 years, give or take a couple months, right? God is absolutely in control, and I absolutely do not have to worry about it. Okay, we'll pick up in 21 next week. 21, actually, I got notes to go to 29, but we're only in verse 21, so I'm not going to hold you that long. I love you guys, and I want you to know that this is nothing to worry about. The times that we're living in right now, this ain't nothing to worry about. God is in control. Amen? God is in control. My hope is in him. It's not in Trump. It's not in Hillary. It's not in our government. It's not in the town. It's not in anything that is on this earth, because everything on this earth is an illusion of the real things that are to come. Everything here is going to burn. I mean, you can look at it, wow, this is real. Is it really? Only real things last forever, right? So what lasts forever? Love, right? Love never fails, all right? Love lasts forever. So go home and love. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Be good to those who spitefully use you, right? Be Christian. And expect to be hated because you love. Be prepared for that. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. Don't love the world. Amen? Don't love the world or the things of this world, because the lust of this world is going away. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do love you and we praise you. I thank you, Father God, for your goodness and for your grace. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your leading of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for the folks that are here tonight. Father, the few, the humble, the saved. And Lord, I lift these folks up, Lord God, that they would hold on to you as the one true life. I pray, Father God, that you would move mighty in their lives, that they would be lights shining into darkness. Father, help us to love with a reckless abandonment. Help us to meet the needs of the folks that are around us. Help us not to hold grudges, but to forgive freely as we've been forgiven. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.